على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. As a continuation of our series of the daily du'as that are required or that are recommended in the month of Ramadan, that are found in Mafatih al-Jinan, there's one every day. They're all different, and there's about 4 or 5 lines in each one. So today what I'm going to present in front of you is a quick short tafsir on the 4 lines of du'a that are found. This is actually a translation of previous lectures delivered by Sayyid Ali Murtaza Zaidi in 2007. So any differences that you may hear in this presentation are solely my responsibility in the translation, and I did the best I could in giving you the most accurate translation. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Ma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the dua for the 4th day is Allahumma qawwini fihi ala iqamihi amrik, iqamati amrik, wa adhiqni fihi halawati dhikrik, وأوزعني في لإداء شكرك بكرمك واحفظني بحفظك وسترك يا أبصر الناظرين. So the first line, اللهم قوني فيه على إقامة أمرك. O Allah, give me strength in this month or on this day to fulfill your amr, your commandments. وأذقني فيه حلاوة ذكرك, and give me the true taste of your remembrance. وَأَوْزِعْنِي فِيهِ لِأَدَاءِ شُكْرِكَ بِكَرَمِكَ, and teach me through your grace, بِكَرَمِكَ, to be thankful to you. وَأَحْفَذْنِي بِحِفْذِكَ, and through your protection, protect me. وَسِتْرِكَ يَا أَبْصَرَ النَّاظِرِينَ, oh, the most insightful, or the most, the all-seeing. So there are a few things which have been emphasized in this dua. The first is, on this day, O Allah, give me strength to fulfill your amr, your commandments. Now, man goes through a lot of, through many difficulties when he tries to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes he doesn't know those commandments. Or sometimes he does know them, but he's not aware of how to do them. Now, the third option is that sometimes he knows, sometimes he is aware of them, he knows what they are, but he lacks the strength in doing these, in fulfilling these commandments to their fullest. You know, his society is such that his community and everything has such pressures that have taken away the strength from him. Now the Imam is saying over here, oh Allah, give me the strength to fulfill any commandment that is intended of me. Now if you think about today's society, it is such a society that if you want to personally, on an individual level, follow your religion, your individual commandments that are explained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very possible. You can pray, you can fast, you can read dua, you can read Quran. But if you look around, you will see that there are a whole bunch of commandments that are being overlooked and not fulfilled. Now we are asking here that make us those strong individuals who are able to fulfill all those commandments, be they individual or be they social. The truth is that whatever God has willed will happen nonetheless, you know, regardless if we do something or not. God's deen, God's religion, Islam, will persist. So what we're asking in this dua essentially is to make us those who are the ones who are fulfilling them. To make us amongst those who are fulfilling them. You know, God could have, you know, had his message delivered some other way, but instead he chose a certain anbiya, the certain prophets who had certain qualities, a certain strength that when they came to the people, that they were able to impart to them, they were able to fulfill the commands that were set out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are asking for that empowerment, which is indeed a great honor for us. The next line, وَأَذِقْنِي فِيهِ حَلَاوَةِ ذِكْرِكَ. Now this is a dua which speaks on a social level, like I mentioned in the first part. Now it is being said here that if you want that kind of empowerment and strength, then we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a sweet taste of his remembrance. For those who ask for the physical and social empowerment to struggle against the negative aspects of society, when we talk about the whole issue of jihad, of being able to, you know, it's a jihad in society, all those things. But we should ask for empowerment against our low selves, first of all. Nafs. So, you know, our nafs should submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. Now, that doesn't mean to say that he should just work on this for decades and not have, you know, not step up to fulfill the social obligations that are asked of him. So this should be happening in a parallel, in other words. Now, he must struggle in every aspect and for the sole purpose of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we see Urafa who have, you know, learned from the Ahlul Bayt. Urafa are Gnostics or mystics who have embarked on the spiritual journey. that they're anxious to worship and remember Allah whenever they have the chance, that especially whenever they're alone. Like they're looking for opportunities when, for example, they'll be able to disconnect or actually disengage from their daily hustles to engage with just the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they don't do this, they almost feel that their existence is at a stake. Now, we may not be like this. Let's be honest. You and I are you know, on a level that is much more elementary and much more, as I like to call it, beginner level. But what we should at least try to do is remember Allah when we are alone. Now, this is key because we have these opportunities. We have time when we are alone, and we have the opportunity to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, here Sayyid Ali Murtazeri mentions a point that he advises us on one thing. He says that at least once every day, this is one thing that every one of us could do. Once every day, just do one sajda for 5 minutes. One sajda for 5 minutes and just take that time to reflect. Just remember Allah in that 5 minutes. You know, just ask Him for whatever. You know, reflect on your relationship with Him. And completely disengage all the other thoughts that are on your heart and in your mind, and try to reflect solely about thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this can go a long way into opening our hearts to knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should know when we're in the sajda that whatever we're asking, that He is the only relief, no matter which facet we're talking about. Like in the Quran it says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The one who relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is enough for him. Now how does this happen? We can truly, you know, say that we are tasting the sweetness of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we ask. وَادِقْنِي فِيهِ إِلَى حَلَوَاتِ ذِكْرِكَ. For one who has never tasted a fruit, how will he ever know its sweetness? When we're trying to really know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want the full sweetness to just, in our remembrance, we want this this taste of just what Allah really is. The next line, وَأَوْزِعْنِي فِيهِ لِأَدَاءِ شُكْرِكَ بِكَرَمِكَ. We're asking Allah through His grace to make us grateful. Now this is very important because Allah says in the Holy Quran, whoever thanks me, I increase his blessings. So our gratefulness is what increases our blessings. So just being grateful in and of itself is a way for us to earn the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, of course, we do not want to be of those grateful, because we see in the Quran there are many times those who are ungrateful are almost grouped together as the people who are unbelievers, disbelievers. So, make my life as such that I'm always grateful. That's what we're asking in this dua. Now, how do we become ungrateful? We stop whining unnecessarily about small things. We reflect on the bigger picture of all the blessings that we have been entitled. We have to view our life through a more optimistic lens. Now, Sheikh Mohsen Qarati, he is a very well-known scholar in Iran, and he teaches a lot. One of the things he talked about once was, he was once sitting and he was reflecting on what his you know, what blessings he has. So he started out, you know, he says, at first I thought there are many blessings that I have that about at least 1 billion people on this earth don't. That's the first. But then he went further. He said, okay, now another blessing I have is 5 billion people of the world don't, which is the religion of Islam. And then he goes on further. He says, there's another blessing that I have, which 5.5 billion people of this world don't. Now he continued until the point where he came to the conclusion that there are at least 10 blessings that he had, which nobody in the world could have. So imagine to the extent where you can reflect on the blessings. So that's what we're asking at the end. وَأَوْزِعْنِي فِيهِ لِأَدَاءِ شُكْرِكَ بِكَرَمِكَ. O Allah, by your grace, make me grateful. The next one is وَحْفَذْنِي بِحِفْذِكَ وَسِتْرِكَ يَا أَبْصَرَ النَّاظِرِينَ. Now, we're asking for the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this stems off of our belief that Allah is the only one who can protect. So when He is the only one who can protect us, then what have we to fear? The entire universe, in His view, is so much weaker that if it were to be destroyed, He would let it. And there is nothing in this world that if Allah wants to protect, that can be destroyed, then He'll always protect it. So if you protected me, who can harm me? That's exactly what we're saying. If a few people oppose us, you know, we think the whole calamity of the world is upon us. Why are we afraid in that sense? You know, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is there to, who we are relying on to protect us, to protect our reputation, to protect our being, our sustenance. And we should, and of course this comes if we are doing those actions that Allah is truly pleased with us, like I mentioned 2 days ago. But his doors of mercy are always open to us. So last part is, Ya Absar al-Nadirin. Everything is in His view. We can never hide anything from Him. He has the most insight into our beings, our thoughts, our intentions. And He invites us openly to Him, even after knowing everything about us, how our shortcomings are. We can see throughout history, many people who have sinned, once they repented and they really came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what great stations they were awarded in this world and of course the Akhirah. In the Quran it says, Surah Al-Baqarah, it says, O Prophet, you know, the Prophet is, Allah is asking the Prophet, say, Ujibu da'wat ad-du'a idha da'an. O Prophet, tell them, if they call on me, I will answer. Come to me and I will always answer your call. So he was asking the Prophet to tell the people that whenever they need anything, they call and Allah has the answer for us always. So we know He has even answered the call of everybody in the past, and He will continue to do so. His doors of mercy are always open to us. And this is the most fruitful opportunity, the month of Ramadan, for us to really open up our hearts and seek Him thoroughly and completely. So inshallah, we return to Allah with our hearts and prayers. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا وَنِلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.